Welcome back to Dices and Dexes. Last time we played, our heroes, Jorah the Inventor, Adrian the Mystic, and Desmond the Hiker, met up with each other amidst the chaos of an attack at the Pokéathon World Championship. After escaping the attack, going through the investigative process with the police the following night and whatnot, you all explored Goldenrod City and then went off to bed. In the morning, Jorah, you were given a work assignment by your supervisor at the Melon Company, Daisy Oak. You were assigned a job to, at some point, make your way over to Olivine City and repair the jet train. It seems like they had some sort of malfunction that went on alongside the attack at the Pokéathon. Shortly after Jorah, you received that assignment, but you went shopping at the Goldenrod City department store. Some notable purchases were some Pokeballs, some healing items, some camping equipment, and perhaps most stylishly, Desmond picked up a Melonbow X1, a futuristic version of the Pokégear. Knocked it out of the market and completely replaced its competition. After the shopping spree, you traveled along to Route 35 with the intention of eventually going on to Route 36 to make your way to Violet City and face Faulkner there. After encountering some interesting persons and Pokemon along the way, capturing Monica the Pineco, Tusk the Axew, and Busby the Beedrill, quite a feisty Pokemon that may prove to be a little hard for Jorah to handle, you all noticed that it was getting late, and you decided to stay at a Pokemon Ranger outpost that you saw in the distance for the night. So, with that, let's jump right into things. Desmond, last time you had climbed some trees, looked out and around, spotted, I believe I described it as a small radio tower with the flag of the Pokemon Rangers flittering above it. You came down, informed your party, and you all decided to head over that way. Now, since there is no clear path to the Ranger outpost, I'm going to ask Desmond, since you're the only one with an idea of where it is, jumping straight into things, I need a survival check from you.
Absolutely. 17.
17, Desmond? Super easy. You know your way around the wilderness, and you saw the direction that it was in, so it's not too hard to veer off the road, head towards this kind of southeast diagonal for a little while, and eventually stumble upon a well-trodden enough path. It looks like it's overgrown a little bit with twigs and moss. Looks like it might not have been traveled in a little bit, but eventually you find a path that does lead you to a old outpost for the Pokemon Rangers. As you're approaching it and you kind of make your way through the trees, you notice that the outpost is old and run down, all three of you. The windows are dirty, and at least one on the second floor of this building is broken. The radio tower that you saw earlier, Desmond, has vines crawling up it, and moss stretches over the walls of the outpost. A garage sticking out from the small two-story home-like structure has a bent-in rolling door as if something had busted up the bottom of it and it never got repaired. The only light around the outpost, aside from the fading sunlight, is a flickering and dim lamppost hanging over the courtyard in this little clearing where the Ranger headquarters is. What do you all do?
Oh, I'm gonna go look inside.
Yeah, I mean, no sense wasting time here. Jorah will follow Desmond.
I'm gonna follow. I want to keep an eye out for any Pokemon that might have taken refuge in here.
Make a perception check.
21.
21, all right. You're keeping an eye out, Adrian, kind of keeping your hands on your Pokeballs just in case something lunges out from the darkness. You guys go up to the door, open it up. You actually notice it's not locked. And as it opens, there's a creaking from the door as you enter into a dusty, cobweb-filled space. You enter into what looks to be just kind of a general small little shoe room, a mud room, where maybe at one point some people had left boots, jackets, hanging here, but it seems there's nothing but the dust, the moss, and the empty mud room around you that eventually leads on deeper into this outpost.
Alright. May Jorah have Cola activate Glow.
Would you like to have Cola out of his Pokeball?
Yeah, Jorah will pop Cola out the Pokeball.
Yeah. Cola comes on out.
And Jorah's just going to say, all right, little buddy, do you think you could give us some light? Pola's probably going to take a second, look around, see that it is, in fact, dark, and kind of give his head a little shake and begin to glow.
Yeah, a natural ability for Shinxes around the world, Kola begins to glow. It's only about 10 feet out of dim light, but it is some light, and looking deeper in, thanks to Kola's natural bioluminescence, you do notice there's a staircase off to the right side of this next room's wall that leads upstairs. And then left of that staircase is what looks to be a living room with a cold hearth, old, maybe slightly eaten into couch, a couple faded recliners, and past that, a countertop that leans into a kitchen.
If a Choltek jumps out onto any of us, I'm going to try very hard not to freak out.
I will scream. You'll know.
Let's hope for the best.
I'm keeping an eye out for us. But you two seem more, well, versed in abandoned places.
Well, I am very good at finding places to study. That's supposed to be a joke, but I'm realizing it doesn't quite ring true in my head as it does in the real world.
Ha ha ha.
Don't
worry,
laugh.
It's funny, I get it.
Thank you, Desmond, Jorah says, staring dead at the floor.
Well, if it's anything, I'm from a monastery, so college humor kind of goes over my head.
Right, should have remembered that. Do we want to explore down here, or do we want to head up those stairs over there?
We can check it out. I'm all for the exploring, as long as we have the light.
Let's check this lower floor, yes.
All right. Jorah's going to pick up Kola and kind of put him around his, like, neck, and Jorah's going to walk into, I think it was left of the stairs?
Yeah, the stairs are a part of this next room on the right side of the wall. Next room seems to be just sort of casual lounge living space type of situation. There's a hearth off to the left, a dusty, not quite broken table, just dusty, looks like it's old, along with some unused furniture that probably hasn't been used in, well, you don't know how long.
Quite the rustic place.
Oui.
What would I know about the Pokemon Rangers?
Make a history check.
Gladly. I think this is something I'm proficient in.
Probably a higher DC for Adrian than some other people, but go ahead.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, that's only a 6.
Yeah, you know, Adrian, once again, that sheltered monastery life, you know that the Rangers exist, you know that they were established to basically, since the Pokemon wilderness is so wild and untamed, even after decades of progress under the Melon Company, the Rangers are out here to ensure the balance between Pokemon and people is maintained, and that order is maintained along the routes where places like the GCPD or even Blackthorn City PD can't reach as easily.
Gotcha.
You know, if people were still around here, I'm sure this place would be wonderful.
My question is why is it abandoned?
That's a very good question.
Mr. Dieb, can Jorah try to make an educated guess as to how long, roughly, this place has been abandoned?
Make a history check.
All right, I'll take it. Seeing if I can put together a timeline somehow.
Mm-hmm.
All right, rolling.
Hey, yo.
Dirty 20.
Dirty 20.
Hey.
Based off your scientific knowledge of dust and vines and moss, probably at least a few months, though it could be longer. You would probably need some sort of evidence to figure out the specific story of this place.
Well, whatever the reason this place was abandoned, it happened a while ago. The moss and the dust everywhere is pretty thick.
Yes, it is.
Yes. With all this moss around, we might not want to sleep in here. That's probably not the best idea.
Is the main room any better?
The main room? Yeah, so this mud room, it's kind of cramped, so you guys step into this main room. As I said, there's some dust here. There's not, like, moss creeping in through the walls or vines or anything. Those were details that Jorah inferred from the outside. But there are, you know, some small cobwebs, there is dust here. The furniture, the couch in particular, looks like it might have been eaten into a small little bit. The fireplace looks like it hasn't had a fire in a while. It's mainly just coal ash. There are some pictures above it. And then you're not sure about the kitchen off to the other side of the room.
Jorah wants to look at the pictures.
Yeah. Go ahead, make an investigation check to infer information from these pictures.
All right.
I'll give you the descriptions of the pictures anyways, but...
Yeah. 12.
So, Jorah, as you're looking at these pictures, picking them up, brushing the dust off them, and getting a clearer view, and with Kola glowing on your shoulder, you see what looks to be a collection of pictures of perhaps the Pokemon Rangers that did used to work here at this station. You see an older, burly man, though a little short, standing alongside a bay leaf, both with big smiles on their face, and a egg at the bottom of the bay leaf's feet. On another picture, you see a lowland woman with some darker skin, kind of some spunky hair, a bit spiky, just kind of outside with the moon hanging above the trees. And you notice in the background, there's actually a large owl Pokemon standing on a branch just above the woman. On another picture, you see a small, skinny, mechanic young man with a floating Magnemite. Looks like they had taken this picture just after a job had finished. The man is wiping his brow of some oil, maybe slightly embarrassed at the state in which the picture was taken. And then sitting around the fire reading a book, you're not quite able to make the title out based off the picture, but a pale woman with a serious face reading a book with a pair of two black and gray dogs that you're not familiar with, Jorah, probably in one of the very rocking chairs in the room. So it looks like it was about a team of four rangers along with their partner Pokemon. That's what you're able to learn from those pictures.
Okay. I'd like to be looking at the pictures with him.
Desmond, would you happen to know what Pokemon this is? And I'll point to one of the dogs.
You can make a nature check. I'll take a look.
I got a 6.
Desmond, you do not know what these two Pokemon are.
Okay.
I suggest that some of us go upstairs and one of us searches the kitchen.
Well, considering I'm the one with the light, unless you want to search in the dark, I suggest we all go.
You know what? You make a fine point.
So we are all moving upstairs.
Yeah, we go. Yeah, we follow Jorah.
We haven't gone to the kitchen.
Well, we'll go to the kitchen.
Have we not gone to the kitchen?
No, we've only been in the lounge and the mudroom.
All right, let's go to the kitchen first.
Desmond starts to go up the stairs and then stops and then follows them back to the kitchen.
Jorah takes 1 foot on the stairs. Wait, hold on. We haven't found that. We haven't seen that way yet.
Turning away from the stairs for a moment and entering into the kitchen. It's a pretty basic kitchen, you know, minus the fact that nothing really has power running to it right now. But there is indeed, you know, a refrigerator, a stovetop. There are cabinets. There's a sink. There is a dishwasher. There's a window that looks outside towards the back part of this clearing. It's not a large clearing, by the way. It's only like 10, 15 feet until you reach the tree line. But, you know, there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
What would you guys like to do in the kitchen? Oh, I also, there is, off to the right of the kitchen, there is a door.
Oh.
I want to look at the cabinets.
Yeah, make an investigation check.
11.
Adrian, you're looking through the cabinets while Desmond and Jorah are doing whatever else, and you're looking through the cabinets. There's some functional dishes here. You probably would have to wash them somehow. And there's some preserved foods that are probably, if you're able to determine how old this place is, depending on how old, you might still be able to use these preserves and make something a little more filling than just regular trail jerky and trail nuts for dinner tonight.
I'm telling you right now, Kola cannot power this whole building. I got a door working at the Paka grounds. I am not trying to have him power this whole building.
Well, we're far from a city. Do you think this place had its own power source?
Potentially, a generator would make sense.
Well, let's look around.
Well, if a generator is going to be anywhere, it's either going to be probably in the basement or maybe outside.
Let's go looking. Because this food is preserved, it could still be good. We could actually make dinner tonight if we just clean the dishes.
You up for a little more light, little buddy? Just making sure Cola's not hurting himself from glowing this much.
Cola's fine. It's a thing he can naturally do.
All right. Well, follow me. And Jorah's going to walk back through the kitchen, through the lounge, mudroom, outside to look for a generator.
All right. Anything you two want to do while he's doing that?
I want to search that other door in the kitchen.
Okay.
I'll go with him.
Then in that case, I'm going to ask Jorah, make an investigation check outside, as it's probably, at this point, it's approached dark. The sun has probably just set. And Adrian, Desmond, we'll jump to you guys with the door in a moment.
All right, rolling.
Okay.
Natural 20.
So
combined total of 23.
So Jorah does this crazy thing. where he goes to the radio tower and he sees where the power line leads. And it leads actually to the back of the ranger outpost. There is, in fact, a little personal generator that this outpost seems to have had. You do notice that the generator looks old and maybe in need of some repair. You would probably need either materials to do that and maybe a few tools as well. But if you can repair this generator, Jora, in the back of the clearing, you could probably, well, get this place up and running at least for a little while. Additionally, yeah. I should mention you're at the back side of this clearing. There's another door on this side of the outside that leads inside, if that makes sense. There's another door, basically, that leads back into the outpost from this side of the outpost.
Doesn't look like we're going to be able to power this place for the night, unless you're secretly a superconductor. Where does this door lead? Jora's going to try to open the door.
Yeah, as Jora, you go
in. Hold on. Is it locked?
You wiggle it? No.
Nice. I'm going to just try to open the door normally, then.
Adrian, Desmond, what are you two doing with your door?
Opening the door.
Opening the door? Is it the same door?
It is not the same door, but it leads into the same space. Arching around, there is a office-like area where it seems the Rangers might have done their Ranger duties. Receiving calls on the radio, documenting reports, taking care of any wounded Pokemon, that sort of thing. Just a rather multi-purpose space of anything a Ranger could have to do, bureaucratic or active duties. There is a space for it in here. There's a small table. There's a terminal in here that could probably be accessed again if power was restored. There is a radio. There is also another door in here. This one's a metal one on the right side of the room, which would be, or I should say right side from where Adrian and Desmond are looking. It's on the opposite wall from where Jora is looking.
Jora, did you find anything out there?
Yes and no. I did find a generator, but without tools and probably some replacement parts, I'm not going to be able to get it working. I assume we both found this place?
Yes, this is where the kitchen led.
Interesting. Well, no use in not looking around.
Yes.
What would you like to interact with?
I want to look at the desk.
Jora's gonna look at that terminal.
That terminal? The terminal that's off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Jora has an idea.
I'm going to look around in the cabinets and see if I can find anything interesting.
All right, investigation check from Adrian and Desmond, since you guys are just looking around.
That's a one.
Got a nine.
A one and a nine. Neither of you, you know, you're farther away from the light, so you're not able to find a whole lot of detail in what you're looking at. There's some papers here on the desk, Adrian, some loose notebooks, but items are either faded, written in a chicken scratch that you don't understand, or it's just not bright enough here in the room for you to be able to make out more details. Desmond, it's a similar case for you. You're finding bureaucratic paperwork that you don't understand the meaning of. Some of them might be about poachers, some of them might be about just daily incident reports. Whatever they are, you're not too interested, and you kind of toss them off to the side.
It's just a bunch of paper.
Most of this is faded, or I can't read it. Seems like they were in a hurry.
While they're doing that, Jora, you approach this terminal.
I'm just going to kind of pet Cola and then say, so, how confident are you that you could boot this thing up? He's not entirely sure how long it'll work, but he'll try.
If you're going to try and use Cola to power this, first thing I'm going to need from you, Jora, is an intelligence check. We'll say this can be your computer skill.
Let's go.
And depending on if this succeeds, Jora, we'll see if you're able to hook Cola up as a power source.
All right. Eight. I don't think so.
Jora, you're not sure how to hook this thing up. Not because you're not good with computers, not because it's impossible to hook up, but just because the hardware that this terminal is using is actually older than what you have worked with before.
Oh, so using the old style of USBs.
This is actually probably at least 3 years out of date, which means the hardware in there. In this high-tech Johto world, Jora, you have been used to working with top-of-the-line computer hardware, software, tech, and all of the above. So you're looking at something that, like, the average person probably would have used 3 years ago, which means to you, it's actually probably 6 years out of date, which means for this outpost, could be anywhere between, if this computer is anything to go by, this outpost is at least 3 years old, but it could be older. 3 years abandoned, I should say.
Cola and I kind of look at the computer, look at each other, shake our heads, realizing, yeah, that's not going to work. Well, at least I have a general idea of how long it's been like this. Did you two find anything?
No, just a chicken scratch, and that's about it.
Oh, you know what?
A bunch of paper.
Desmond, you did roll above a 5. You probably gained some information. I'll say you learned the names of the 4 Rangers who were stationed here. At least the 4 most recent Rangers. Oh. Andy, Paula, Rocky, and Carpathia. As for which name is which, you're not sure.
Okay, I found the names of at least the most recent people that the people who were last here. It's Rocky, Paula, Andy, and I can't read that. Carpathia. Can I get closer to the light, please? Carpathia.
Jora holds Cola a little closer.
Flashlight?
Well, hopefully we can run into them. Though, given how old this place is, probably 3 years abandoned. Not likely. Under best circumstances, anyways. Yeah. Well, the computer over there is using decently outdated tech. Certainly not what I'm used to working with, that's for sure.
To be fair, though, at the monastery, we're not very updated in technology either. I don't even know if we even have anything that's the latest there.
Yes, but these are supposed to be Pokemon Rangers. They're supposed to be top of the line, best of the best type deal. They should have updated equipment. So either this place is dealing with the worst back order this side of the Great Crater, or this place was abandoned a while ago.
Wow.
Well, there's that metal door back there. Maybe they have supplies? Maybe?
There is also the upstairs we haven't explored yet. Let's take a look where that door leads, and then we'll head upstairs. Who knows? Maybe we'll find out why they left this place. And I'm sure it's not for a bad reason. You see Jora kind of trying to convince himself with that one.
Yay, exploring.
I was hoping.
Jora, you go over to open this metal door and it wiggles in your hand. Locked.
Oh, all right.
Is there a key around here somewhere?
There is a couch. Might be between the cushions.
That could be upstairs.
I'm going to check the couch, and if I don't find anything, we'll check upstairs.
All right, I'll go with you. I don't want to be separated in here, if I'm being entirely honest.
Desmond, you may as well come with us.
Oui.
All right.
Jora's going to look between the couch cushions to try to find a key.
Yeah, traveling through the office, back into the kitchen, into the lounge, you go to this dusty couch. Looks like it hasn't been used in years. Go ahead and make an investigation check, Jora.
11.
Find a lot of pocket litter in between the cushions. Notably, actually, as you're maybe taking the couch cushions off, you're going to notice that there is 3 things here underneath the couch cushions. One is a key.
Let's go.
Another item you see is a little charging cord. A third item is a old, out-of-date pokey gear, which to you all would be the equivalent of seeing a flip phone.
You know what? That's the best. That's the best Adrian's going to get.
Actually, Adrian might know this one.
Do I know this model?
Make an intelligence check?
I mean, we have said that the monastery is pretty behind.
That's an 8.
There is a reason Adrian did not know what a melon bow was, and there is a reason Adrian doesn't know how computers work. The monastery does not have a lot of technology. The technology you guys do have is basically the stuff you co-opt with the Blackthorn City Gym, since Claire is a part of your crew. That is all to say, you do not know what this Poke Gear is. You know it is a Poke Gear, you just don't know how to operate it.
Let's take it.
Also, that charger cord, does it give me a second chance at that computer?
No, this is probably a charger cord for perhaps a small watch-like device and not a large, constantly draining power source like a computer.
Can Cola try to power on the Poke Gear?
Yeah, go ahead, make an intelligence check. We'll do this as a computer's check, sure.
Jora's going to plug in the charger cord, and I guess Cola will just bite down on the other end of it.
Yay.
19.
Hey, yo.
Yeah, the Poke Gear was out of battery. I'm going to ask, make a constitution check for Cola, just to see how much Cola is able to control the power he's putting out.
12.
12, that's good enough. Yeah, he doesn't fry the battery or anything. He keeps a pretty steady charge going on. Mark off just one use of the move charge.
All right. Thanks, little buddy. As I'll give Cola some pets. So what does this Poke Gear say? Like, what can I glean from it?
As you're recharging the Pokegear and kind of scrolling through it, I want you to make an investigation check as you're utilizing this technology to learn some stuff.
Just investigation, then. That's a 6.
Whether it's because this is an old Pokegear, or whether it's because it's damaged in some way, you're not sure, but not much of the software on this Pokegear is functioning. What you are able to determine is the only app that you, and you're kind of like probably scrolling through the apps, opening them, trying to see if the software will work. Contacts isn't working. The little map software isn't working. There's a small little music radio software that's not working. None of that's working. The only thing that's really operating is an audio memo software. And even that, you're probably going to have to do some computer stuff to recover any audio files that are on there.
This is something I need to plug into a larger computer to really get something out of right now.
Going to an actual computer is probably going to be easier for Jora.
Well, that's not really an option. We'll come back to this. Jora's going to pocket the Pokegear, just say, well, at least we know it works. I'll take the cord out of Cola's mouth, give him more pets, and then I'll hold up the key and just say, looks like we have access to whatever the garage is now, or wherever the garage is now.
It was probably that door, that metal one.
Well, I'll let you do the honors, and I'll hand the key to Adrian.
All right. I'm going to make my way over through the kitchen, and then arrange your office to that metal door, and I'm going to try and unlock it with the key.
You guys follow your ways on over to this door, and the key slides in gracefully, and you hear a clunk as the lock goes inside the door, and you open it into a messy, dustier, smellier garage. This one actually at that garage door where you see it's kind of busted upward a little bit at the bottom. Some moss and grass has actually started to like make its way in here. For the most part, it's untouched, but just over by where the garage door is broken a little bit, there is some intruding vegetation.
Oh, goodness, that is old oil.
If anything brings spare parts, I think it'd be the garage. It was stinky one at that.
Yes, we'll definitely find something here, even if it's just our lunch from earlier. Jora's gonna push through and just take a general look around the place. See, actually, no, better idea. Jora's going to look through any old tool cabinets to try to find some tools.
Jora, you're going to be looking for tools. What are the others doing? Also, let me describe this space. Sorry. Let me describe this space, because there's some stuff here. You enter into this garage. Like I said, it smells bad. There's the busted door off to one side. There are two pairs of lights up above. Neither are on. Whether they work, you're not sure. And likewise, as this is a garage, there is, unsurprisingly, a Jeep there. It looks like it's lacking wheels, however. There might be enough tires scattered throughout this space, you're not sure. And it looks like its hood is open as it's propped up off the ground. There are many tool cabinets and hangers strewn about the place. There's also what looks to be a, not like a personal terminal, but a PC, like what you would find in a Pokemon Center, perhaps. Some sort of amalgamation of a Pokemon Center PC off on one side of one of the walls. Looks like someone was in the midst of tinkering, perhaps. Other than that, there's the makeshift PC.
Adrian wants to look around those boxes.
Are you looking for anything in particular?
Not really. Just looking inside of them, seeing what's there, seeing what kind of supplies maybe they could use.
Yeah, I want to look around the Jeep and see if I can find the key to the Jeep and if it still runs.
We're about to drive out of here.
So Jora's looking for tools. I'm going to say, honestly, just because it's similar enough, Adrian, do you just want to give him the help action?
Yeah.
Jora, make an investigation check with advantage.
Yeah.
And Desmond, make an investigation check regular.
Cool. My investigation is not the best.
Dirty 20.
Okay, Desmond, really quick, you're looking over this Jeep. Yes, it needs 4 tires attached. You're not sure if there's enough tires here in the garage. It is unlocked. You said you were looking for some keys. There are some keys, the sun visor in the driver's side. And similarly, trying to see if it starts, you check the hood of the car and notice that it will need a battery.
Ah, that makes sense.
So it's a half-finished repair job of some sort on this Jeep. At the very least, to get this thing driving, you'll need tires and a battery. Whether there's anything else, you're not sure.
Okay, cool.
Likewise, Adrian and Jorah, you two were looking around this garage looking for tools. I'm going to say you rolled high enough. You find some spare change just about the cabinets on the floor amongst any rolling carts. You find 350 Poké Dollars total if you would like to split that up however you like amongst you two. Similarly, Jorah, you think you could probably use some of these spare parts to fix that generator outside. And there's enough tools here where if you wanted, you could have a set of mechanics tools that you could keep along with you, and that would apply for any sort of, not computer checks, but, you know, any sort of mechanic.
Machine checks.
Machinery, yeah.
I am definitely taking mechanics tools.
I'll take the 350, or if you want to split it.
Yeah, I was going to say we split it 50-50. I will give you 175 of it. Actually, I'll give you 200.
Okay.
Just to say, like, I probably wouldn't have found most of this without your help, so there, a little extra.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Don't spend it all in one place, and I'll kind of patch it on the arm playfully.
Also, during this conversation, Desmond is in the Jeep, turning the steering wheel, pretending to race it.
Absolutely.
Are you having fun in there?
Yes.
Keep doing that. I'm going to go see what I can do with that generator now that I've got some parts. Actually, if it's a generator thief, may I search the area again for gasoline?
Sure. Go ahead, make an investigation check.
10.
Yeah, there's some gasoline. They probably had some extra for the Jeep. Whatever happened here, they probably forgot it in a rush or something. So
it's because I don't know what type of generator it is. I'm going to go see if I can't get that generator working and maybe get this place a little nicer for the night.
That is a good idea. I think we should stick together.
Yes.
You all go out to the generator. Jorah, what I'm going to ask of you is, as you are working out here in the night now, I need you to make a machinery check. This would be intelligence, and if you have proficiency with machinery, which I know you don't, you have computers.
I will burn my last use of jerry-rigged knowledge for the day.
All right, there you go.
17.
17 knocked it out of the park. I'm going to say you're going to have enough scrap left over to where if you wanted to do another repair job on something else, either here or in the future, you've got enough scrap to work with it. But you're definitely going to be able to get this generator back running. And with a little gasoline and a little jolt from cola, you're able to begin powering this outpost once again. The lamppost on the other side of the building that had been flickering in and out steadies its charge, and if you guys go inside, you can even flip on some of the lights inside.
Oh,
and we can finally go upstairs.
Got to admit, was not expecting that to work.
Well done, Jorah. We always believed in you.
Thank you. And then I'm going to reach down and kind of pick up Cola, cradle him for a little bit, since he's been putting in work today.
Yeah, if you want, mark off another use of charge just to have jump-started the generator.
Gotcha. Cola will stop glowing. All right, ready to see what's behind the door? Or the stairs, rather?
Yes, finally.
All right, Jorah will follow behind both of you.
I'm going to walk up the stairs.
Yeah. The second floor does not extend to the entire complex. It's probably just above the ranger office, the kitchen, the lounge, and a bit of the garage. And you walk up into a hallway where there are going to be four doors. Two on the left side of the hallway, two on the right side of the hallway.
Well, everyone pick a door. I'm going to go to the one on the left, the first one on the left.
These are probably bedrooms.
I will say, okay, if you guys turn the lights on in this hallway, you're going to see the door on the left and the door on the right are bathrooms. One with a male icon, the other with the female icon.
I better not catch any of you sneaking into the girls' room.
Yes, that's reserved for Silky.
And Mistral.
Jorah's just going to say, you two pick your rooms. I'm going to go see if I can't get into that computer from earlier.
Okay, sounds good. Dibs!
I call room on the left.
I'll go into the room on the right.
You both open the two rooms simultaneously and are greeted to multiple beds in each. It seems there's four in each room with some little nightstands next to them, some cobweb-filled fans at the center of each room. These are not individual rooms. These are dormitories, since the rangers sometimes would have had potential visitors or travelers who would need to stay with them if they were wounded or looking for a Pokemon or something of that sort.
Well, Jorah and I are going to feel right at home.
I called dibs on this one. You guys can share.
You would presume, Desmond, that this would have been the woman's dorm when the outpost was populated.
Oh, how would I come to that conclusion?
The woman's restroom is on this same side of the hallway.
Oh, that, I mean, you know what? That makes sense. I'll turn on a fan in the room. The cobweb-filled fan, I want to turn it on.
Yeah, absolutely. It, like, hums to life like it hasn't been used in years. It's old, it's rickety, it hums loudly because it probably hasn't been upkept very well, but it's a fan, and it works.
Yay.
There is a window at the other end. This is for both rooms as well. There is a window at the end of each room that looks out into the courtyard, actually.
Well, Juro's messing with the computer, and do you want to come with me and cook up something in the kitchen?
Oh, sure. That sounds fine.
Plus, you can probably tell if this food is bad or not.
What would you guys like to try and cook? I don't have a list of ingredients prepared, but there's probably ingredients where you can make meals that would feed a lot of people at once. Things like pasta, meatball subs, soup.
One comically large meatball sub.
Pasta bisole is what Adrian thinks.
You guys want to make pasta then?
Yeah, let's make some pasta.
What I'm going to ask from you is just generally, one of you make a wisdom check. If the other person wants to be in the kitchen helping, you can make a secondary wisdom check, and if both of you pass, there will be an additional benefit. If one of you pass, gotcha. You want the main person to pass, but if the secondary person also passes, there's another bonus.
Okay.
I'll be secondary.
I'll be main. While we're cooking, I'm also gonna let Silky and Tusk play around.
Okay, yeah, you let Tusk out. Tusk's probably a little grouchy and glares at Adrian, but then Silky, like, gets in between you two and makes friends with Tusk again. Are they playing in the kitchen?
Oh, no, they're going to be playing in the lounge.
All right, what were those wisdom checks, guys?
18.
16.
Yeah, both of that is good enough. So whenever you end up giving people food, let me know. But while you guys are cooking up food, Jorah, you're at this computer. Yes. What do you want to do? You can turn it on, easy peasy, but there is a password that you'll have to get through.
Oh, geez. Really stupid idea. Ranger 01, capital R.
I'll roll a luck check. Why not?
What are the chances?
Please.
17?
Please.
Ranger 01, capital R? It works.
Jorah's just going to look away from the computer real quick. I am in disbelief. But we'll take it. Looking back to the computer, what do I see?
It's a pretty basic terminal. There's a documents folder, a browser, that sort of thing. You do notice there's an email. The wallpaper of this is actually a collage of pictures of the Rangers, actually. It's kind of cute.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, if you want to take a look at the collage, you may. But there is a browser, there's an email you could access, general computer stuff. But nothing like accessing a Pokemon PC.
All right. I am going to boot up File Explorer, or the equivalent, and I'm going to try to see what the most recent edited documents are on the computer.
Go ahead and make an investigation check for me.
Yep. 11.
Not many edited documents on here. Looks like an incident report dating to just under 3 years ago. That would be the most recent one. And looks like, just because you've rolled an 11, you're maybe exploring other things as well. Looks like the latest email was also about just under 3 years ago. Email looks like it's a month older than the incident report.
Ooh, incident report. May I look at the incident report?
Yeah, the general gist of the incident report. You would notice that it was written by a man named Andy, and there were some appended details given by a man named Rocky. And the incident report will detail how, during the night, Andy was serving the night shift that night. A few nights before the station was closed down, a traveler radioed for help, saying they were being attacked and hunted by something. Andy went out searching for the traveler, found an abandoned campsite, and what looked to be some sort of venom splattered against part of the tent, but no sign of the traveler. Andy woke Rocky up, they locked up the outpost, and they searched the woods that night. They radioed for help from the Route 36 station and the National Park station, and after another 48 hours of searching alongside them, did not find this traveler who had reported missing. After that 48-hour search, Andy then was on another night shift when he thought he saw a rather large Pokemon lurking through the woods. But since there was no emergency called, a trainer in need, a traveler in need, a camper in emergency, he did not chase after it, but he appended in the incident report that it was a rather large Pokemon, and it scared him and his partner Pokemon, Bayleaf. And whether it was related
so
or not...
Andy is the first guy.
Yeah, Andy is the burly older man with the Bayleaf. At the end of it, he basically mentioned that he recommended the new station that was being set up to investigate the problem further, as their station was being closed down and would not be able to provide further manpower over the coming days to investigate if that larger Pokemon was related to the attack or whatever occurred at this campsite. So it seems like it was an investigation where somebody went missing, was never found, and it was just maybe about a week before this station was closed down. Make an insight check also as you're reading this.
Insight. You know what? Because this sounds pretty important, I will burn my inspiration.
Go ahead.
Looks like it's a 15.
As you're reading this incident report, as he's describing this person going missing, even though he's doing it in professional language, whether it's yourself reading into it and like projecting or what Andy was actually conveying through his words, there is a tone when this person went missing and of describing the campsite of regret and dread. When this larger Pokemon is mentioned, he's not able to give many details about it, just that it was not quite as big as an Ursaring, but larger than a regular Noctowl or Ariados that usually prowl around at night.
So something decently big and probably pretty dangerous.
Yeah. He's worried about that in the tone. You also notice when he's describing this kind of new station and this station being closed down, he's being professional about it, but in a tone of, I am being professional because I am being asked to, not because I want to be professional about how I describe this situation. Does that make sense?
He definitely does not like the new station. He wants to stay at this one.
He doesn't like the new station for whatever reason, and there's some bitterness about this station being closed down. So that's what you get from that incident report.
It had venom of some kind at the scene. What could be that big and use venom? I don't think Jorah would know. Jorah's not from around here. He's been here for like a month, but that's not enough time.
Yeah, valid.
Well, Jorah's going to power off the computer. Maybe he can read more of it tomorrow. And just kind of turn to Cola and say, well, little buddy, just make sure you tell me if you see anything weird, all right? And Cola will give a shaky nod, as Cola's not exactly taking the fact that something could be bigger than whatever an Ursaring is, which
smaller,
already sounds big.
Smaller than an Ursaring, bigger than something like a Beedrill or an Ariados.
Still bigger than him by probably twice or three times. Jorah's going to head back upstairs, scooping Cola with him.
Upstairs or into the kitchen? As your friends are cooking in the kitchen right now.
Actually, yeah, Jorah will check in on them in the kitchen. And just, well, I think I know what happened. What are you cooking? It smells delicious.
Just some pasta. Silky and Tusk are playing in the lounge right now. If
they're doing what?
They're playing in the lounge.
Jorah's just gonna take a peek into the lounge to make sure it's not completely destroyed.
I want you to make a D20 check for Silky and Tusk.
How rough are they playing? Especially since Tusk has the impression that Silky's method of play is battle.
True.
Silky's method of play is Twister, Perish.
That's a 19. I don't know if high or low is good.
High is good. They are playing without damaging. They are play fighting. They're not using attacks. Oh. They're just kind of wrestling each other.
Thank goodness. Oh, good. Glad we still have that.
Jorah, if you're not doing anything, could you wash some of these dishes while we're cooking?
Sure. I also feel like I should tell you what I found, but can we get some bowls sorted first? As Jorah is very quickly washing the bowls because he's hungry.
Yeah, you guys wash up your dishes, dry them, maybe with some of the travel gear you've got instead of a dusty towel. You use something you guys have brought with you. And with some fresh pasta, you and your Pokemon, should you choose to have any of them out, can enjoy some pasta tonight. Both Adrian and Desmond passed their checks, so I'd like to know who all is eating.
There is a part of me that wonders if Busby should try, but I feel like he'll just start punching everything.
Set a bowl outside.
And then... I don't want to be mean to Busby, because I do want to make... Okay, Jorah and Cola will eat, and then Jorah will take Cola back, go into, like, the garage, and try his best to get Busby to just eat some pasta and not kill him.
Okay, so...
So that'll be my problem.
I'll let both of them try it.
I'm going to feed Silky and Tusk the pasta. I want to try and use this time to have Tusk get more comfortable around me.
Okay. First things first. Silky, Tusk, Zephyr, Mistral, Cola, Jorah, Desmond, Adrian. You're all going to get 8 temporary hit points.
Oh.
That is Silky, Tusk, Zephyr, Mistral, Cola, Jorah, Desmond, Adrian. That's going to stay with you even after a long rest because you had a really nice meal. Additionally, I'm going to ask, make a charisma check, Adrian, with Tusk. I'm going to say, describe to me what you're doing with Tusk to try and get Tusk to warm up to you.
What I'm trying to do is, occasionally, I'll take a spoonful of my food and feed it to Silky, and then afterwards feed it to Tusk.
Go ahead and make a charisma check. I'm going to say DC 15. This is not going to solve the fact that Tusk does not like you, but it will help if you pass.
That's a 16.
Tusk is exhausted from today. Tusk had to search for the, well, tusk that it lost. It does occasionally, yes, eat the pasta, and it enjoys it, and it eats its own bowl, of course, as well. Food is food, and food is the quickest way to a hungry, hungry hippo's heart. So I would say make a note somewhere on Tusk's sheet. Just put a progress:X, just so that we know how much progress you've made.
Yeah.
Jorah!
Yeah. I'm going to make sure Cola is completely done before I even try to attempt Busby.
Yeah, of course.
When you're preparing to let Busby out, I'm going to recall Mistral because I'm worried for her.
Oh, no. Jorah's going into the garage. So Jorah is going to take a bowl of pasta into the garage, recall Cola. The way I have it set up is I have Busby's Pokeball about 10 feet in front of me, directly in front of the ball, like maybe a foot away, is a bowl of piping hot pasta. About 5 or 6 more feet away is Jorah, sitting down, body facing the Pokeball, but head facing the other way, like looking away, rather. And at that moment, Jorah will open the Pokeball and release Busby and pray that Busby notices the pasta there.
I'm going to ask Jorah, as you release this Pokeball and the buzzing of an angry Beedrill exits out. Make a Pokemon handling check, Jorah, as you have to come face to face to Busby, who last he saw the light of day was attacking you.
Okay. Dirty 20. We'll take it.
So, you know how when you capture like a fly or a bee or something in like a jar, it just starts wigging around the container trying to break out as if it has that kind of strength?
Yeah.
That is Busby when you release Busby and he is confined to a big giant garage. He's knocking over tools. He runs into a tire. He hits the garage door and it shakes. And then from him stirring the air in here, there is a whiff of the pasta that he catches. And he slows his buzzing down, comes over, lands, kind of walks and hobbles. He's probably just like 3 feet off to your left, Jorah, and you're like desperately hoping that he's gonna calm down because he is within striking distance.
Thank goodness allergies to Pokemon don't seem to exist in every media that I've seen, because if Jorah was allergic to Beedrills, he would be going into like shock right now. But Jorah's not going to look, just letting Beedrill move around, doing his thing.
Busby will eventually, after kind of inspecting the bowl, poking it a little bit with his stingers, looking towards you, Jorah, looking back to the bowl, he'll go and he'll eat a little bit of it. I will say for your next command check on Busby, you will have advantage.
Okay, we will take it. So. Mostly because if anything else happened, I think Jorah would be on the ground.
Just note, in my notes, I put eating time. Busby does not kill Jorah.
Yeah, to Adrian and Desmond...
We just hear noise.
You just hear buzzing and the sound of metal clashing and falling to the ground and smashing into things. And then it goes, like, quiet for a moment. Eventually, Jorah will exit the garage at some point, I'm guessing.
Yes, after Busby has consumed the pasta instead of Jorah's bones, Jorah will just calmly pick up the Pokeball, retrieve Busby, and let out a sigh of relief. And meanwhile, Pokeball shakes a little less in his hand. Not stopped, never stopped, just a little less. And then Jorah's going to walk back into the kitchen. So Busby's doing great.
You walk in and you hear Adrian talking to Silky about a battle plan. Oh, you're okay.
But now anyways.
Silky, take back everything I just said.
Yes, it's, you see Jorah, like, actively sweating. It was certainly a test of will to let it get that close to me. However, I think we're starting to form an understanding.
Maybe it thinks you're brave.
It knows that I've given it food, and if it continues to not kill me, it might get more food.
Makes sense.
I look at Silky. I look back at Jorah. I don't think that's how you train a Pokemon, but it's a start.
Well, this isn't training. This is more getting to know you, as Jorah shrugs.
It's taming.
That's a good word for it. It's taming.
You have a point.
Beedrill has a point. And keep it away from me, please.
Beedrill has many points.
Well, I'm going to have nightmares about that tonight.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have my own room. Jorah's going to take all the dirty dishes and begin cleaning them.
Yeah, what kind of things are you all doing to wrap up your night?
I'm journaling. After we clean, I'm going to journal.
I'm going to play the flute.
Okay, you ever almost get into like a car crash or something, and for the rest of the day, you're just looking at life differently? Jorah's just looking at stuff with so much less. Jorah's trying to take so much less for granted, considering what he just went through.
So we've got some people journaling. We've got Jorah having a change of heart on the way he views life. And we've got Adrian playing some flute.
Yeah, playing the flute. Silky's dancing. Yeah. Maybe Tusk is joining. We'll see. Who knows?
Mistral's out. Mistral would love this.
Do you guys maybe have a fire going? There is an empty fireplace.
Ooh, yeah.
I'll start the fire. I probably know how to.
Hey, go ahead and make a quick survival check, just finding the proper wood and everything as you go outside searching.
Mm-hmm. 30-20.
Yeah, Desmond, you're able to go outside, collect some wood for a moment. As you're walking back in, make a perception check for me.
Oh boy, I'm scared. Oh, that's an 11.
Desmond, you got your wood. You head back inside.
Okay, woo.
Yeah, you guys head back inside, start a fire. It's nice and chill and warm.
So, yay. Before interning with Melon, what did you do in Sinnoh?
Well, do you mean the entire time, or just in general?
In general.
Well, I was actually working for Rowan for a good bit. I was kind of there. If IT couldn't fix something, and if the normal mechanics couldn't fix something, and we needed a weird solution, I was the person they would call.
Ah. Huh.
It's thinking like that that led me to charge that old Poke gear, as Jorah in his mind remembers, just handing the end to Cola, Cola biting down.
So how did you and Cola meet?
Oh, that? It was actually a birthday gift from my mother.
Oh.
Yes, though at first I will admit Cola definitely didn't like me. I seem to have a certain aura about me that Pokemon don't vibe with.
But it seems like Cola's taken a liking to you, haven't you, Cola?
Cola just kind of brushes his head against Jorah's leg. Yeah, over time, we became inseparable. Isn't that right, little buddy? As I scratch his head more.
Aww.
Yeah, I just started working with Professor Rowan, made some gadgets, tinkering, and eventually Melon Company asked to see if Rowan had anyone suitable for an internship, and he recommended me.
Hmm, that's good to hear.
That's very nice.
What about you? What did you do before all this?
Well, for many years I studied within the Dragon's Den, and learning the old ways of Johto before this technological revolution happened, I was largely sheltered from it. Not out of fear, but we stuck to tradition while everyone else was moving on. And it was there that I met Silky. The best way to say it is coming of age, students were to get a Pokemon partner, and I was lucky enough to meet Silky there.
This Dragon's Den, I feel like you've mentioned this before, am I wrong?
The Dragon's Den is within a cave in the side of a mountain over at Blackthorn. Within there lies the monastery, where students live among Pokemon and learn the ancient history of Johto and the wisdom that we have to learn from.
Interesting. What about you, Desmond?
Oh, well, I grew up in Kalos. We lived in Lumio City, in fact, and my father owned an aviary nearby. I've been around bird Pokemon my whole life. I can't remember a time in my life when Zephyr wasn't around. That once I was old enough, I would go on hikes by myself in the woods, and I saw Sky Battlers up on a cliff. The Pokemon were above in the middle battling. I looked up and I decided that is what I wanted to do.
Good as reason, if any.
Those are those Sky Battles you talked about with Gym Leader Chris.
Oui, yes. They are the most elegant thing you will ever watch.
Well, I mean, we're going to Faulkner's Gym, aren't we?
Oui.
Well, maybe you could have a sky battle of sorts there.
Oh, I hope so. It would be my first official sky battle.
Well, no one better to start with, I suppose. Though, I do hate to kill the mood, but I do feel like there's something I should warn you all about.
Yes, what is it?
Accessing that computer, which I would like to continue to do, but I understand we need to keep moving. I accessed an incident report about a week before this site shut down. Looks like orders came from higher up or something. The point is, the Rangers got a call that someone was being attacked, but when they got there, they couldn't find much. Just some weird venomish substance. There's a sighting of some large Pokemon out in the woods, but they couldn't identify it. They recommended the new site that they were building to investigate, but I don't think much came of that.
Hmm.
From what the report said, it could be anywhere from not quite as big as an Ursaring, whatever that is, but certainly larger than average. I don't know what could have caused it. I'm not native here. Just something to keep an eye out for. I mean, the report was 3 years ago. It's probably moved on.
Could I make a check to infer on what kind of Pokemon? Not specific Pokemon, but is it evolved? What Pokemon may be here in the area? You know, stuff like that.
You can make a nature check. You don't have a lot of information from the report, and you don't have a lot of information about this area. It's going to be a very high DC.
I'm fine with that. That is a 7.
Adrian, you've got no clue. You're as stumped as Jorah and report writer are.
Well, we can assume it's a poison type. Other than that, I have nothing else that I can think of.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the poison type fauna around here, so I don't know either.
I mean, like I said, the report was from 3 years ago. This Pokemon might not even be alive anymore. Actually, that does remind me.
Yeah, yes.
Do you think this ranger station has a working radio?
We can check the office.
Radio. Don't know if it works.
Questions for tomorrow. For now, I'm going to probably put Busby in my bag and go to sleep.
Yes. Silky, Tusk, are you ready to go to bed? Tusk looks exhausted. And Silky is ready for bed and looks like it.
Yes, my Pokemon look like they are ready to hit the hay as well. And Zephyr is already asleep on my head. And Mistral is just sort of up, closer to the ceiling than the floor, over in a corner of the room, just staring with her little white hands and face still stained from the spaghetti.
Oh, that's so adorable. Cute!
Inspiration.
Yeah, inspiration. She matches just her flower a little more now.
She does.
Kola fell asleep at some point when Jora was explaining, like, his backstory and asking about Adrian's and Desmond's. So Jora just oops him up. I hate to disturb you while you're sleeping, but we have beds we can use. And Kola just lightly purrs.
Y'all are heading to bed. Who's staying in which rooms? There's the men's dorm and there's the woman's dorm.
I say we
whichever
all go
room
the men's dorm.
Jora is leaving his bag in, I'm going in the other one.
Jora, which room are you leaving your bag in?
Jora's going to leave his bag with Busby in... He'll leave it in the garage.
In the garage, okay.
I'm going to the boys' dorm.
I mean, I guess no reason not to just all go into the same dorm, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll feel more safe with the other guys, so...
Yeah, as I said...
We're all in the same room.
In this dorm, there's four beds. Two of them are bunks, two of them are singles. They're dusty, maybe in need of some cleaning, but it's obviously comfier than the hard ground outside and a sleeping bag. There's that window that looks down into the courtyard, and there's the fan, which at this point, the cobwebs have been flown off, and the room has cooled a little bit. All go to sleep. And I would like all of you to make perception checks for me.
Oh boy.
Yay.
Perception.
Yay.
Yata.
Yata. Ooh. Indeed. Hey.
Natural 20 for a 23.
Okay. 19.
Dirty 20. We are aware.
I'm subtracting 10 from all of those since you're all asleep when this check happens.
I will still take a 10 for being asleep.
Adrian, in the midst of the night,
yes.
You are going to stir awake. You're not able to make out much, but in your daze, outside, hearing a loud noise, some sort of shuffling or cooing or cawing, something outside's making a noise and it's woken you up.
I want to take a look out the window really quick.
Yeah, make a perception check as you look out the window.
Yeah, I also want to go be like kind of sneaky about it.
Go ahead and make a stealth check.
That is a 14.
Okay, now make a perception check as you're getting closer to the window and looking around.
That is a 22.
22, actually wide awake. You quietly approach the window, looking outside of the courtyard. You're not seeing much immediately, Adrian, but you do hear shuffling. Something is running through bushes outside. And what you're going to see, Adrian, with the lamp outside casting light on the courtyard, there is indeed somebody bursting through the bushes and running up to the front door of the station, knocking on it. Come on, let me in! Someone, open up!
I'm gonna call Silky. Silky, with me! As I'm gonna go downstairs, open up the door, and motion the person inside.
As you go downstairs, Adrian, as you're turning the corner, just some extra information for you. You see her as she's running, and she's making it to the door and shouting for someone to open up, let me in, come on! In general, there's no other sound you're hearing other than what she was running through the woods. There's not a hoot-hoot cry, not a ratata scurrying on the ground amongst the trees or anything. Purely the noise of her running through the woods. And the hum of the lamplight outside. As you're dashing downstairs, waking Silky up, Jora, you are going to stir awake at that. You're not sure of what's going on. You just know Adrian has burst out of the dorm into the hallway downstairs.
Ooh, what? Oh, no. Is Desmond awake?
Desmond's not stirred up yet.
If Adrian's freaking out...
Desmond is a heavy sleeper.
It's probably a good reason. Jora's going to wake up Kola and then go over to Desmond and just... Desmond, wake up!
What?
Well, you two are waking up. Adrian, you have run downstairs. You've swung open the door. What you see before you is a young woman, probably a little older than Desmond. Sandy brown hair, darker brown tips at the hair. She's got blue eyes. She's dressed in traveling gear. Notably, though, looks like she's dressed a little lighter. Her hair is kind of a mess right now. There's twigs in it. She's kind of like got cuts from some branches that she managed to miss dodging. You also see she's holding her left shoulder and there's some blood. And as you open, she's just like, Oh, thank you. And Adrian, you're going to see behind her in the tree line, three pairs of blue eyes lurking in the trees.
Get inside quietly. And Silky is going to help support her.
As you go to motion her inside, I need to roll a check. I'll actually have one of you make this check for me. I would like somebody to roll me a dexterity saving throw for this woman. Roll a d20. I know what the modifier is. We'll have Adrian do it.
Oh no, that's a 2.
Okay.
Oh,
as this woman is out in the open right now, without the cover that the foliage provided her, one of these pairs of blue eyes blasts a line of string that grabs the woman at her back, and she is grappled and being pulled in by the Pokemon lurking in the dark of the woods. At this point, Jorah and Desmond, you guys can come downstairs if you'd like.
Yeah, Jorah's going to run down the stairs.
Yeah, you see this woman was being ushered in, and then you heard a flip as String grabbed her at the back and began pulling her backwards. She's, like, trying to pull back away from it, but she's been caught up by a String shot attack.
I want to grab her alongside Silky. I want to try and pull her back inside.
What I want you to do, since you're pulling her, I want you to make a contested athletics check. I'm going to say don't even bother doing advantage, because this Pokemon's going to have help from the other three Pokemon who are also going to fire string shots.
Yeah.
So you go ahead and make an athletics check, Adrian, and I'll make an athletics check for these Pokemon.
Okay. If I may, could No, I was going to say, if Silky does Twister, that's going to be a battle.
If Silky does Twister, this lady might get yoinked out of the doorway.
Yeah.
I have a plan. I have two separate plans. I don't know if either of them are going to work.
Okay. As three more strings grab this woman and begin to, like, pull her back, Adrian, you're pulling her back in alongside Silky. I want you and Silky to make wisdom saving throws.
Oh, okay. That worked well. From me, that is an 18. From Silky, that is a 16.
Okay. There's a fourth pair of eyes that flash some sort of effect towards you and Silky, but you both manage to shrug it off. There's a moment when your heart skips a beat. And luckily, with the adrenaline that just pushed through you, you're able to yank this woman in. The string breaks as you yank her in. She kind of goes tumbling a little bit, not able to stabilize herself, and you yank the door closed.
Jorah, Desmond, help me block the door with the couch.
Got it. Jorah's going to try his best to help you move the couch.
I'm going to make a roll.
I mean, I was figuring Desmond and Jorah were going to go over and lift the couch.
As you both go over to go and lift the couch, you hear some sort of clanging from the back, just outside the kitchen, in the back of where the outpost's clearing is, and then all the lights go off.
Heck.
I need to go upstairs. Tusk is still there.
I think we might have to rely on Busby as well, but he's in the garage.
Speaking of the garage...
No.
You're going to hear some metal clanging from the front of the outpost now. Boom, 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 as something's trying to probably break in through that little gap in the bottom of the garage door.
Man, what is so important about this place? The Pokemon hate it.
What are you all doing? You just... The power has gone out. You're hearing metal clanging in the direction of the garage. Tusk is upstairs because you didn't return him to his Pokeball. Busby is away from you. This woman has fallen. She is bleeding. There is blood on your hands, Adrian. What's going on, guys?
Adrian's going upstairs, returning Tusk to his Pokeball.
Okay, Adrian, you leave this woman on the ground and you run upstairs really quick. Jorah, Desmond, what are you guys doing?
So Jorah is going to instruct Cola. Cola, get ready for a fight, as Cola is going to use charge.
Okay.
Nora is going to run over and just, I guess, pull off maybe a piece of a sleeve or like a sock just to try to mop up some of this blood. He doesn't have medical tools on him, but actually, no, potions don't work on people.
They work at half effectiveness.
Oh, okay.
I have 4 of them. I will use 1 potion on this lady. And I will also try to do the thing I said originally, a sock, a piece of sleeve, some type of fabric to work as a crude bandage.
Okay, I want you to make a medicine check to operate that bandage, and for the potion, I want you to roll 2d8 plus 2.
Here's the medicine check.
Oh no.
So that didn't work. That's a nat one.
Okay.
Here's the 2d8 plus 2. 6.
As you spray this bottle into her wound, she just... it stings really bad, and she, like, pushes you away with her right arm. Ha! And she's
clutching. It's a potion. I'm trying to help.
It stinks! And just since she, like, pushed you away, Jorah, you, like, keep backing away, and that's how we're gonna flavor the natural one.
Okay, fair enough.
Desmond, what are you doing in the midst of kind of this crazy situation going on?
Okay. I take Zephyr out of his Pokeball, because I put him in there to sleep, and... Sorry to wake you, Zephyr. And I know you must be tired, but are you feeling up to a battle? There are bug Pokemon out there. I hope you're hungry. And Zephyr... I don't know how Zephyr's feeling. How's Zephyr feeling as far as recovering from smoke inhalation?
You can make a medicine check to check.
Okay. That's a dirty 20. Lots of dirty 20s tonight.
He will still need a couple days. No heavy exertion on the flying. So essentially he can't be doing... To Desmond, what that might read as is he can do something like peck. He probably shouldn't be doing things like quick attack, since that's going to take a lot more physical exertion to move that fast.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see how this goes. Just be ready.
While you were checking on Zephyr, Desmond, Adrian, you're running upstairs. You probably have just gotten to Tusk. Jorah, you were helping out this woman. You hear a poof, like a give of the metal out in the garage.
Oh, no. I have to go make sure Busby's all right, even if he starts attacking me. Ola, come with me.
Okay.
You, stay here, don't move. And Jorah's going to run into the garage. I'm not sure if I have to make my way through the other rooms first.
You will have to, yeah. You'll have to make through the kitchen into the ranger office. As you're running through the kitchen, this woman is going to... she'll shout something out, because she's not paralyzed, she's not unhelpful. She's gonna push through the pain and say, "Be careful, it's some kind of spider!" And...
Do my best.
As you're running through the kitchen, into the ranger office, Jorah. Jorah, I need you to make a perception check for me.
Perception. 9.
I would say technically this would be with disadvantage because it's dark, but you have Cola with you who has glow. So you are able to actually see Jorah in the ranger office, in the far left corner of the ranger office, hidden amongst some of the filing papers and cabinets. There is, in fact, just off to the side of that PC you were using earlier, a spider Pokemon that is shooting a poison sting out towards the first thing that entered this room. It's not going to have advantage because you managed to spot it, but I do need to know. It will target Cola here.
Heck.
It will target Cola here.
My boy.
I need to know, does a modified 20 hit Cola?
Yeah, a little bit.
All right. 4 poison damage, and Cola's actually going to end up getting poisoned by this. I need Cola to make a concentration check.
Concentration. 16.
16. All right, Cola still has charge up. And we're going to end it there, and we'll pick up with this next time.
We're getting jumped.
After a long day traveling Route 35, our trainers enjoy some warm pasta, but are interrupted by vicious spiders from the forest. How will they fare against this arachnid attack, and who is this strange woman coming to their door for help?